This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. SNAP is shorthand for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We used to call it food stamps, and also here in Texas, we call it the Lone Star Card. Nationally, the program cost $78 billion in 2012, double of what it cost in 2008. Now calls for federal budget austerity in Washington, D.C. are being heard as Congress works on the SNAP portion of the farm bill. Hunger advocates say cuts to the program will hurt children, the working poor, students, veterans, and the elderly in Texas. Budget hawks say the nation needs to make these budget cuts. We invite you to join our conversation about the future of the SNAP program. Have you ever been on food stamps or SNAP? Do you support cuts to the program? Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org or go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Michael Guetta, is the Chief Development Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And also on the phone, Tim Smeling, the Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Tim, are you there? All right, so let me ask you, Tim, this meeting, the SNAP program, what kind of cuts, how would this impact, the cuts that are being talked about now, how would this impact America?
Well, certainly one of the things we've learned is that SNAP or food stamps are one of our major anti-poverty devices, if not the major one in the country. The reason why enrollments are so large and we're spending so much is because we got a lot of poor people out there. And we want them to eat. By want them to eat, I mean an average benefit per person of $133 a month, about 30 bucks a week. And everyone from the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, to a couple of local county officials here in Madison have tried to eat on 30 bucks a week.
The food stamps challenge.
Yes. And it's not easy. So I think, you know, that there may be some small things we could do with the program. There may be some common sense things. But the idea of, you know, reducing enrollments, the House wants to cut $20 billion from the program by not providing automatic qualification for other programs, which just means you have to go apply from somewhere else. They want to reduce subsidies, which the USDA gives, to increase enrollments to eligible people. But, you know, what kind of cut is this? You want to get rid of, you know, reduce the number of people who are eligible for a program hearing about it. That makes no sense to me. That could hurt. That could cut a couple of million recipients off, and it would cost $2 billion a year. The Senate wants to close a few loopholes, a little bit less serious. They want to get rid of some of the abuses or misuses, but those are in the eye of the beholder. So, for instance, some states give their elderly a small benefit from the energy assistance program, LIHEAP, so that then they automatically qualify for SNAP.
And when you say small, you mean $1?
$1. Once you qualify for SNAP, you automatically get enrolled into the, once you get a dollar from LIHEAP, you automatically get enrolled in SNAP. And the idea is this mainly, in fact, is only targeted at the elders who were, yeah, because elders have a very low take-up rate. Low-income elders have a very low take-up rate for SNAP, and this automatically qualifies them, and then they start getting benefits and so on.
Right. Well, let me get to Michael Guetta, Chief Development Officer from the San Antonio Food Bank, in our conversation. So if SNAP were to be significantly contracted here in San Antonio, what would that mean for the San Antonio Food Bank and the demand on your agency?
Well, yeah, I think we have to think of it as a balloon. You squeeze on one end and the other end enlarges. So if we squeeze on the SNAP side of it, that just pushes more air and pressure out to those emergency food pantries in our network.
So that hunger doesn't go away?
Absolutely not. The hunger doesn't go away. What goes away is a means to provide for that family. Relying on food banks is not as efficient as having your own money to spend. You don't have control of it. You don't know what your family likes exactly. So the consumer, that is that hungry family, that food insecure family, is then really at the discretion of what is available in the donated food pipeline. And we know that's not near the selection or even the health selection that you might get at your local retail grocery store.
All right, we have some callers standing by. Let's go to the phones. Casey has been holding. Casey, welcome to The Source.
Hi, I'm not very articulate, but I'll do the best I can.
I'm sure it'll be great.
My name is Stacy. I've been on food stamps before, and I was on all through my education, and because I have a young child, and I'm off food stamps now. I finally got off the program, but I saw abuse taking place so much. What people do is they sell their food stamps, so they don't even, they'll have like five, that's exaggerating, but let's say they have like two or three children, and they get $500 in food stamps for the month. They'll sell like $300 to somebody, and they'll get like $200 cash, and with that money, they'll go buy drugs or whatever, and then they're going to places like the pantry to say that they don't have any food because they spent all their money or spent their money through the food stamp program, which is going to start.
Okay, so Casey, you tell an interesting story. Let me try to get a little into it here. So you were on the benefit, right? You were on SNAP, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you used it properly, but you saw people who didn't use it properly and who were abusing it, and they were, like, some people were selling it at a discount and making money off of it so they could buy things like cigarettes, beer, drugs, or whatever you can't use the food stamps for, right? And so how do we balance that in your mind, because you're a person who are using it right? How do we balance to make sure that people like you are able to get the benefit, but and this
I don't
this,
know that's a dilemma, that's a problem. Either you have to really be stringent in who's being identifying for using the food stamps, and people were, I mean, I had some of my son's friends come to my knocking at my door saying their parents didn't have any, they spent all their food stamp money and they needed food. They have some frozen food.
Is it worth it to the system to crack down on it and make it harder for people like you who use the program properly in order to get at the people who abuse the system?
I don't think you should. I don't know if that's the right direction you should take. I believe that maybe it should be more of a revamping, I guess.
Okay.
Try a different solution. There needs to be other ways to go about it.
Right, but so definitely put some more enforcement and some sort of effective ways to try and keep that from happening. But without hurting people like you who use the system properly and used it to feed your family and your children.
Yes.
All right, Casey, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in. And so real quickly, we got to go to a break in a moment. But Michael, can you tell me, is this like – you know, when you hear a story like Casey's, what do you think?
Well, just, I was looking at some statistics. In 2010, 40 million participants, right? In 2010, 44,000 individuals were actually brought down by the USDA for bad use of their cards, right? So USDA is out there trying to do enforcement, but it's certainly a great question. Are there people who break the law and do this? Absolutely. Are there enforcement rules that USDA has in place? Yes. Are there enough people to be working that enforcement all the time? I think that's a really important question to ask. But, the bigger question is, at what level? Oh, we're moving away, aren't we?
Okay, so we got to go to break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the SNAP program, food stamps, what's going to happen with these cuts that are being talked about in Washington, D.C. You can join the conversation. Call at 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX.
In 2001, we spent $20 billion a year on SNAP. Last year, we spent $80 billion. It's gone from 20 to 80, four times. And so we identified a categorical eligibility gimmick that was allowing people to get food stamps who did not qualify and should not have received them. And I said, let's close that loophole. In over 10 years, we were projected to spend $800 billion on the food stamp program. This would have reduced it by 11. So we would have been spending $789 billion instead of $800 billion. And you know what they said? Our session wants to take food out of the mouth of babies. Now, people are going to starve. He's uncompassionate. He's unkind. He has he wants to just chop the budget so we can hurt people, and it was voted down. Now, we had reports showing that this was an abusive practice that should have been fixed.
That is Senator Sessions of Alabama, Republican, on the floor talking about cuts to he's supporting to the food stamps or the SNAP program that's currently being debated in Washington, D.C. That's our topic this half hour. What about the future of SNAP or food stamps? We want to invite you to join the conversation, 614-8980. Also, in the next half hour of The Source, we're going to be talking about growing your own food in your backyard as a place to get healthy and safe and abundant source of food for you. But so let me get we have on the phone right now Congressman Pete Gallego here from San Antonio, Congressman, a Democrat. And so when you hear the Senator Sessions talking about, abuses to the system, the ballooning of the system and the benefit of SNAP, what's your response?
Well, I will tell you that I'm all in favor of as I think all members of Congress are, of cutting waste and fraud in the federal government. SNAP, though, has one of the most successful, one of the lowest error rates. It's one of the most successful programs because it's got only a 3% error rate, meaning that 97% of the people who get SNAP actually really deserve it. And the average individual SNAP benefit is about $4 per person per day. It's just a little more than a dollar for each meal. And 98% of the households who get SNAP are households that include children or the elderly. And we can have a conversation about adults who should or shouldn't be working, whether they can work or not, or those kinds of things, because there's fundamentally, I think, a belief certainly on a lot of people's part that if you can work, you ought to be working. But when you're talking about kids and when you're talking about the elderly, I think that's a different scenario. And in Congressional District 23, there's about 36,000 households that get SNAP. And so, as I said, 98% of those households get are households that have children or the elderly in them. And so, I think that's important to maintain.
So, Congressman Gallego,
that's a big deal.
Congressman Gallego, let me ask you: this is in the Farm Bill. What does the SNAP program have to do with farmers?
It actually has a lot to do with farmers. It's traditionally been in the Farm Bill because we're talking about food, and who grows food? How do you get food? For those people that think food comes from the HEB or from a grocery store, that's wrong. Food is grown, whether it's taking care of cattle to provide beef, whether it's growing corn or growing cotton. All of these are agricultural products, and so that's why it's part of the Farm Bill and has always been part of the Farm Bill. And frankly, I think that the Agriculture Committee is. An appropriate place for it.
So by having a healthy or this benefit of the SNAP program, it actually benefits farmers. It came out of the Depression where we had farmers who were growing an abundance of food, but people in the market who had no money to buy it, so were able to help farmers and feed the hungry at the same time.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, frankly, the benefits of SNAP are not just for the kids and the elderly who are getting on there. I mean, they're buying the food somewhere, and so you've got the store the store is buying it from someone else, from a processor, perhaps a locker plant in the case of meat, or somebody who packaged it. Who is in turn buying it from the farmer. So every one of these dollars rotates through our economy, and I think that it probably rotates every single dollar that we have would rotate probably about 5 to 9 times.
You're feeding the economy by keeping food stamps healthy. Let me get Michael Guetta in on this conversation from the food bank. You wanted to add something.
No, Congressman, first, just thank you for your great support on all this work that you're doing for us. But it's, I think the number is about 16 cents on every dollar, David. 16 cents to every dollar goes back to farmers here in Texas. So that's a pretty tremendous number when you look at all of the money that's being spent in SNAP. It's not just helping grocery retailers, but it's literally going back to our farmers in Texas.
And I'm also going to get Tim Smeeting, the director of the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, on this conversation as well. So how big of a benefit are we really talking about for, like, say, a family of four with SNAP?
Well, I think the congressman hit it. $4 a person a day is, you know, roughly $380, $360 a month for a family of four. You can only spend this on food. 99% of people who shop locally. So the money goes to local grocers or local, in Wisconsin here, we particularly emphasize that people go to local farmers markets too. You can't buy toilet paper with it. You can't buy beer with it. You can't even buy vitamins with it. You can buy food, and that's it. So this money generates more money for the local economy. There are more people working in supermarkets, and there are cycles. So we know that people are still hungry. The typical way it works, and you could ask some grocers if you wanted, is that the first of the month when those benefit cards are filled, they can't keep food in the shelves for the first couple weeks. By the end of the month, they're lined up at the food bank or lined up at a soup kitchen. I worked at a soup kitchen in Syracuse, New York, the Samaritan Center, for quite a while. And near the end of the month, you'd see street people all the time, but you would see families coming in. We call them the Tupperware crowd. So a mother would come in, try and hide herself from the street people who were just there to get warm or to whatever, and come up and ask for an extra portion to put in their Tupperware because they were taking it home to feed their family. So food stamps isn't enough really to exist on, as all these other, you know, experiments we talked about where people tried to live in $30 a week.
Sure.
And there's a big cycle, and the cycle reflects on the food banks and others.
Okay, we've got a lot of calls here. I want to get them in on the conversation. Sure. Elizabeth has been patient. Elizabeth, thank you for waiting. You're on The Source.
Thank you for hearing my story. I have been on disability for 7 years and sort of funneled through the system. And I think also when listening to the program, I'm seeing that people are sort of jumping back and forth between SNAP and TANF. TANF is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Only single people can get SNAP or the Lone Star Card. If you have children, then TANF is available to you. As a single person, SNAP is the only thing available to me. Again, with TANF, I think they can also qualify for the Children's Health Insurance Program. So they have a little bit more resources over here. I think we're crossing back. What I'm hearing is crossing back and forth between these two different programs.
So tell me about how SNAP helps you. What would happen if suddenly that benefit was cut off?
I wouldn't have any food to eat. I would have no money to spend on food. My SSDI benefits are at, I don't even want to say, about 127% of the federal poverty level. I can't stretch out. And the other thing about this is, and I haven't quite figured this out, even though I send in the same application with approximately the same expenses every year, my amount changes. Some years I'm awarded $121. 1 year I was awarded $6. 1 year I was awarded, anything in between that. And then this year they cut them off in the middle of Easter, and I had to reapply. And I spent one day literally calling everything from city to county, state, and federal agencies trying to find out what's going on. And I know the Texas Health and Human Services Commission is primarily responsible for it. And I will thank the food stamp, the food bank, because they are a centralized agency here in San Antonio that has been the only agency that's been able to help me through this.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Great story, telling us how important SNAP is working for you. I'm going to go back to Congressman Pete Gallego on the line from Washington, D.C.
Here's the other thing that I would tell you is that the average SNAP participant is receiving benefits for about 19 months. And right now, actually, if you were not averaging out by the historical average, but just averaging out the new applicants that are receiving benefits, they're probably receiving benefits for only about 8 months or less. So this is something that helps people tide themselves over, and again, I think that it is something that is a critical thing for those folks, especially a lot of kids out there who are only getting one healthy meal a day. And what I said in committee was that we shouldn't kids should not be a casualty of this conversation.
Absolutely. Congressman Gallegos, since you're in Washington, D.C., you know, in Congress, so what's happening there is, are we going to see massive cuts to the SNAP program?
Well, certainly the agriculture bill, the ag bill, the farm bill that was approved in committee makes those cuts. My hope is that as the bill moves through the process, it's going to have to go through conference committee of the Senate. And I think the Senate will put some of the money back in so that you won't see those draconian cuts that you see in the House. I think the House is ideologically somewhat different from the Senate, and I think the Senate is a little more moderate. So we'll get somewhere. We'll get a farm bill this year, I believe, and I believe that the SNAP cuts will not be as drastic.
But there may be some cuts. Looks like there's going to be cuts.
There's clearly, look, with the deficit that the government is running, I think there's going to be cuts to just about every program. I think the government is clearly not going to be able to spend at the level that it has been spending.
We're really, really tight on time.
The question is how much the cuts are going to be.
And so, Michael Getta, how does that equate to what you do at the food bank?
Well, it means we need to, number one, put more people to work and find more resources. So we're very much, David, about feed the line and shorten the line. So finding those strategies, not only that are giving people food immediately now, but finding ways to help put those people to work so they can provide for themselves.
And real quickly, Tim's meeting at the research poverty. Is this a smart decision as far as the economic growth?
I think the way to cut SNAP is to get more people employed at decent wages so that they're not poor and they're not eligible for SNAP. If employment can recover in this country and wages can recover in this country, then you're going to find more people supporting themselves through work and less people eligible for and using SNAP for a shorter period. So we need to get people to work and to get them out of the poverty situation, which is the reason that they're receiving the SNAP benefits. That's what we really need to do.
All right. Well, I got to thank all of you guys for being with us today. Congressman Pete Gallego, thanks for calling in from Washington, D.C. Thanks on the phone, Tim Smeeting, Director for the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and also Michael Getta, the Chief Development Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. In the next half hour, we're going to keep talking about food. We're going to talk about growing it in your own backyard. You can use your SNAP benefits to buy seeds to grow your own food, and that's a way to help feed the family at a low cost. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of our callers. We'll be right back after this.